Assalamu alaikum, Rebecca Cataldi. I work for the International Center for Religion and Diplomacy in Washington, D.C. And privately, I'm the founder of the American Islamic Friendship Project and the head of the Interfaith Committee at my church.
Thank you so much for having us. My name is James Patton. I am the Executive Vice President here at the International Center for Religion and Diplomacy. I have a master's degree in divinity from the Harvard Divinity School, which is known for its kind of interfaith and ecumenical background. And I have worked all over the world in conflict issues, not always related to religion, but related primarily to identity conflicts in Africa and Latin America and in Southeast Asia.
Well, I think there's a lot of things that need to be done, but one is that we have to change the way that we view conflict and issues of conflict. It's very easy in a conflict to only look at your own needs and your own wants and my own desires, but we have to also think about the others and what are their needs, what are their wounds, what are their communities and their families in need, and start looking at how we can make a solution that benefits everyone, that takes care of the needs of everyone. And I think religion can play a very important role in that. You know, sometimes people say religion is the problem, but really when you look at most religions, most of them teach core values of loving God and loving other people and treating other people with respect. And it's when we don't follow the values of our religion that we start to have problems and conflict. So I think living up to the values of our faiths and being able to interact with each other and to solve problems together constructively through relationships is really important.
ICRD really understands conflict as primarily violent conflict as the furthest extension of a misunderstanding between identity groups that their needs cannot simultaneously be met and that their core identities are associated with this conflict in needs and interests. What ICRD tries to do is bring to the table the spiritual values that drive people either towards conflict or drive them towards the mitigation of conflict, which oftentimes are left out in terms of other diplomatic engagements because it's a very, very difficult kind of identity to grapple with. I think that the key step to get people to transcend the misunderstanding of my needs will not be able to be met if your identity continues to exist, is to somehow grapple with the concept of empathy, which what it essentially does is it expands the sense of self and the sense of my in-group to include others by virtue of some sort of shared interests or shared characteristics. And I think that despite perhaps the broader perception in the world, most everyone practices empathy to some degree in their relationships every day, whether it be with a brother or a cousin or an uncle who they might not like but they take care of because they're family, or whether it be with projects in their community that might affect people positively who they've never met but they do it because it's a communitarian sense of action. I think people have the seeds of empathy already within their behaviors all the time. So the key is to find that, tap into it, appeal to it in a broader sense, and then apply it to these areas of intractable conflict.
I think there's a lot that we share in terms of our identities that doesn't mean that we take anything away from our individual identity or our group identity. You know, I can be a Catholic, but along with Muslims and Jews, I'm also a child of God and a religious person. And, you know, we share that identity, and it doesn't take anything away from my personal identity as a Catholic. I think it only adds to it when I learn from and experience relationships with, you know, other members of this human family from other faiths. You know, in the same way I'm an American, but along with Turks or Arabs or Latin Americans, you know, we're all part of the human family. And so I think we have to look at what we share with each other and how that doesn't need to threaten or in any way take away from our own individual needs and our groups.
Yes, it's true. The core human faith traditions, I think, are all grounded in one of the same principles, which is to inspire us beyond what might be our base instinct, reactive type characteristics as human beings, rage, resentment, vengeance, all of the things that drive people into dehumanizing others and finding ways to cast others outside of their in-group and then use violence against them. What we need to remember is that while all of these faith traditions are trying to inspire us into those kinds of behaviors through the divine, there is a human element here that is has the tendency and the capacity to bastardize some of these traditions and use those very same traditions as inspiration to do horrible things to one another. So the human history is replete with examples where faith and doctrine have been applied specifically to the cause of killing other people, right? I mean, I have an example right here. This is Cambodia. Pol Pot was a Buddhist monk and then used the Khmer Rouge to go out and apply Buddhist tendencies, Buddhist philosophies, in a way that led to horrible genocide, right? And does that mean that Buddhism in its principles is genocidal? Does it mean that Islam or Christianity are genocidal because they have resulted in this kind of violence? Absolutely not. So you have divine inspiration, but you also have human inclinations towards power over others, towards greed and enmity, and these are the kind of things that the two pieces have really got to be both grappled with. I think we do ourselves a disservice if we just assume that divinity will inspire people to do wonderful things. There is a process involved in engaging in that divinity which elevates us, I think, beyond these base instincts that lead us through our ego principles to do damage to others, including the world and including ourselves, in all honesty. So there's a balance between the divine inspiration and the human inspiration, and both of these things have to be brought to bear.
And I think it's important, you know, there's so many competing ideologies and things that compete for our time and our attentions, and as religious people, we need to really think at our core, you know, what would God want us to do in every situation? And I love how in Islam people always emphasize that, you know, God is the merciful, the compassionate. Well, if we're worshiping a God that's merciful and compassionate, then we have to be merciful and compassionate with each other. And I think by the way that we live out our faith or don't live out our faith, this is how others around us get an understanding of what our faith is about. I read a lot about Islam from books, but it wasn't until I went to Egypt for a month to study Arabic that I feel like I really got to meet a lot of Muslim people in the Arab world and really understand how Islam was lived out in a Muslim-majority country. And I remember I was kind of nervous at first because, you know, I had this impression that people might be hostile toward Americans and I wasn't sure how they would treat me, but they were so kind and so hospitable and just welcomed me with such love and such compassion. And I realized how much we had in common, that the same values that I held so dear as a Christian and as an American, to love God, to love my neighbor, to try to work for peace in the world, these were the same values that these Egyptians had. And I think you see, you know, in many countries all over the world. And so I got a much deeper understanding of Islam and a much greater love of Islam through meeting these wonderful people there and developing these relationships. And that's how you really start to solve problems, when you start to really understand each other and respect each other and build relationships that you can work together on these issues that affect all of us all over the world. So having that personal interaction with people is so important, I think, for changing the misperceptions people have and the misunderstandings that lead them to react in violent or hostile ways.
Many of the problems, historical problems of religion, could have been avoided with a great dose of humility. There have been innumerable conflict scenarios in which people said very specifically, we are doing what God wants. And every investigation I've done of the spiritual motivations of humanity and doctrine starts with the principle that God knows more than you do, right? And as soon as I start to claim that I know the mind of God, whatever that might be for whoever the practitioner is, aren't I trying to cast myself a bit in the light and the frame of the divine? And that's in my understanding, starts to border on self-worship, which is, I think, very far from what these doctrinal principles are trying to encourage us to do. So I would say humility in terms of what we assume the other person believes based on their doctrine, humility in terms of what we think we bring to the table, and I think you expressed that very well. When we go into conflict areas, for example, whether it be ICRD or other work I've done in the past, and I honestly think there are a number of great examples of people doing this in the world, the primary driving desire is to help reduce violent conflict. It is not to bring an answer. It's not to bring a better way to do it. It's not to bring a better doctrine. It's not to go and impose upon someone else my belief system. What it is to do is to go in there and ask the question, how can we help? What can we do to help stop the manifestation of such horrible violence or whatever it might be that is leading to a destructive relationship, which in all of these different doctrines is fundamentally not the manifestation of God in the world, right? The manifestation of God in the world are a whole multiplicity of characteristics such as love, mercy, etc. And so if we're not seeing that in that relationship, then to me it means that's not the manifestation of the God that these people profess to believe in. So how can we help that to move from one relationship to the other? And the first step, in my opinion, for us as peacemakers, but also for people who are engaged in the violence against one another, is stop thinking you know either what the mind of God is or what the other person thinks, believes, wants, and start from a perspective of asking and of listening. What is it that's happening? What is it that is really going on in the desires and needs of this other person? And then you can dial back. The Buddhists, there's a beautiful book written by a Thai Buddhist who operates out of Cambodia, a guy named John McConnell, in which he takes Buddhist principles of false identity construction and applies them to conflict. How is it that I think you think something, and I think that you might have thought something when you did something to my ancestor, and etc., and I build this whole false construct of who I think you are, and that's why I'm acting towards you the way I am. And it's not real. It's based on imaginings in my head of imaginings in your head. And I think, if anything, the conflict right now between Islam and the West could very easily be described as this. I've heard plenty of my fellow Americans describe Muslims as X, or they believe this, etc. And they've never had any interaction with these people. So, again, just emphasizing this idea of humility. Stop thinking we know what's happening. We know what's real. We know what the mind of whichever God we believe in is calling us to do, and go out and try to manifest the principles of goodness, of kindness, of mercy, etc.
And I think, you know, our role right now as human beings is to foster that environment of love and compassion and of working together to solve our problems as much as we can. And, you know, as a religious person, I look at it in that God created all of us, Christians, Muslims, Jews, atheists, everybody. And so if I love God, I have to love everyone he created. I can't hate or try to hurt or try to destroy any person he created, any of his children, because that's the ultimate disrespect for God. And I think he wants us to take care of each other and to take care of this world, you know, in a spirit of love and compassion and empathy, you know, just as he's ordained us to do. And I absolutely agree with what James was saying. Sometimes we build these false perceptions and these false assumptions in our mind, and especially the perceptions of hostility, where we get the idea that the other hates us or they want to hurt us or the Muslims hate us or the Christians hate us. And it's, for most people, it's not true. And I experienced that in a very real way going to Egypt, where I was expecting maybe this hostility toward Americans or Christians, and instead I was welcomed with great hospitality and great love. But I also experienced the same perception in reverse, that a lot of them had misperceptions about Americans or Christians, that we don't like Muslims or that we think Muslims are terrorists, or, you know, and for most people here, it's really not true. We just want to live in peace with each other and work together to solve these problems that we're facing as one, you know, Earth yes. community. And so I think it's really important that we communicate that to each other and that we're willing to question our assumptions and our perceptions and realize that we don't know everything, and that the way to learn more is really to ask people and to interact with them and to learn from them. And I was inspired actually by my experience in Egypt to found the American Islamic Friendship Project, which is a project to promote peace and friendship and greater understanding between the people of America and the people of Muslim countries by exchanging messages of peace and friendship. And so we're collecting these messages in a book. I have a copy over here, actually, that I'm trying to get published in the America and in the Muslim world when I get enough messages. And we've got some really just wonderful messages from people in Egypt and Pakistan, Afghanistan, and America. And I started this because I wanted the voices of ordinary people to be heard, aside from politics and aside from media and aside from assumptions, but just let people speak to each other from the heart. And so I think it's really important that we seek that out and we listen to each other rather than, you know, forming our own assumptions in our mind before we've done it.
And which also plays into my earlier comment about humility. I think a lot of times in this work, people are so overwhelmed by the gravity of the problem, the enormity of the problem, that this is a giant issue, that there are big forces, there are people who are saying, my doctrine says I need to kill this whole group of people, and vice versa, there are armies involved. But ultimately, really, it's people like this girl in Sudan. This is who we work with. This is who the most of the people in the world are like. They go home to a village that is poor, certainly by Western standards. They don't have a lot of political power. They are not the ones leading the conflict, and oftentimes they're not the ones carrying the guns. So having these debates at the level of politics or doctrine oftentimes kind of misses the point, which is that these violent conflicts, whatever they're driven by, continue to push the majority of the human population into positions of poverty, a lack of development, the inability to access their political expression in a way that would let them realize their human existence on this planet in a way that's fulfilling and can manifest these principles that we're talking about. So again, coming back to this idea of we can do a small piece, we don't have to be overwhelmed by the big problem, and all these small pieces together can then transform the situation in a way that affects the lives of the great majority of humanity, which is not living through these doctrinal extremes and through this act of violence, but are being impacted upon by it in a way that doesn't let them realize what is, in many traditions, understood as the God-given opportunity of existence, which is to find love and to express love and to find a connection to both other human beings and to the divine. So that's really, in my mind, the reason I have pictures like this hanging and the reason this kind of book is so inspiring is that these are the people who are actually living this quietly. These are the folks you don't hear from, but this is the majority of humanity and the majority of believers and non-believers alike. But those are the folks who are being affected by violent conflict. So we try to manifest in the way that we connect with one another as an organization and the way we think about the work in the world, that very kind of pluralist engagement that you're talking about. And I know that's a challenging word for some people, but we think that it's incredibly important that if we are going to go out to people of other faith traditions and connect to them as people and say, listen, we have so much more in common than we have that separates us. And if the truth is we're being driven to aspire to the divine, which is all of these wonderful properties and characteristics, then why should we fight over that? Why should we not help each other to do that?
Right.
If you aspire to love and charity and compassion, as do I, and we happen to use a different set of texts to get there, isn't that a good thing? Let's focus on the positive there, because it's so much more important than these other divisions. And if we approach those divisions with that love and compassion and charity, we'll be able to resolve them. And so that manifests here in our staff as well.
And at ICRD, as an organization, we're not affiliated with any one particular religion, but as he said, we embrace people of all faiths, and you know, we work in different parts of the world with different religious actors and groups, depending on what is the local situation and local culture. But you know, we're not out to change anyone's faith or tell them they should be having a different faith, but you know, we hope that we can support people in trying to live up to the best values of their own faiths. And I think if all of us did that in, you know, in every part of the world, in every faith, we all need to do that. And I think solving problems starts not only with reaching out to the other, but with reaching inside yourself and reflecting on, you know, what could I be doing to be a better person? What could I be doing to serve God in a better way? What can I improve? And, you know, if I can do that, it'll be better. I'll be better able to work with others who are trying to do the same.
And oftentimes, if you just start there and stay there, keep working on that, you're probably doing enough, and you have enough work for to last you a lifetime, because we all have enough failings and enough weaknesses, and I'm 100% in agreement. If we can focus internally on just being more of who we claim we want to be in the world, the impact of that will probably be much more dramatic than if we're out trying to force people to change.
More we try to help each other to take care of this world that God's given us to love and serve him by loving and serving the people that he's created and put on this earth with us. You know, I think that's how we build as good of a world as we can here, and how we make ourselves better able to enter that beautiful afterlife.
Congratulations. That's fantastic. I am inspired now to go and use your card to read more about Channel A9. But if you all are a symbol of what Channel A9 is doing in the world, then, you know, may you have long life and prosperity, and congratulations. Inshallah, this keeps going very well for you.
And may God bless your efforts and your work. And it's really wonderful and touching that you would come to us and want to hear from us and have us share our perspective and share your work with us. I think this is how it starts building a more peaceful world, is this kind of conversations and reaching out to each other. So God bless and reward your work, and congratulations on your anniversary.
Teşekkür ederim.